Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I want to talk about, while we have a couple moments left, about the tactics. Mm-hmm. We're talking about these tactics because our president taught them for 4 years, used them, and Hillary Clinton did a thesis on it. And she was mentored by, reportedly by, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, by Saul Alinsky. And the tactics are just Lucifer-type tactics. Mm-hmm. It's trying to do things in your own flesh, kind of make things happen and happen. We found out yesterday, if you missed it, you know, Paul renounced all that.
Right.
He intentionally humbled himself and just said, you know, I'm just going to talk about Jesus and him crucified. I'm just going to come to you with power and the word. And I'm going to be careful not to even use any enticing words because I want you to know Jesus, not to know me. Well, the opposite happens when people are using these kind of tactics. They want you to know them and their power, and they have the credit in the context of that. And so we're talking about, you know, what was these 13 tactics that are used? You know, are they organizing the world? Are they organizing the world and America with them? And as we're progressing, we're finding, my goodness, it sure looks like it. Well, the ninth tactic of the 13 tactics, let's just talk about it. We want to share the tactic, but then we want to talk about the light side. You know, what does the God's word say about that kind of particular thing? It could be a good tactic. That's a light tactic.
Right.
And so we got to look in God's word and find out if it is. And of course, we're covering some of the word. And there's a lot of word to say about a lot of these things, a lot of scripture, right. But we're just trying to give you a quick perspective. Tactic number nine of the 13 tactics that our president taught for 4 years and that Hillary Clinton did a thesis on that's sealed to this day from her university. They made a policy saying first lady's papers get sealed when her husband became president. It says, this is a tactic. Tactic nine, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Hmm. In other words, it's a lie. You know, it's a lie, but just say it. And you're not going to do it, or you can't even do it. But if you just threaten it, truck drivers who are going to go down and protest what's happening in our country and around the Washington Mall and drive their trucks, they'll have this fear that it could happen. And so only a few trucks showed up when thousands were signing up to be able to come down and kind of make an outward sign of saying, you know, where's this thing going? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then that fear of, it's like, you know what? You know, as Christians, we have to be willing to lay down our lives. We have to be willing to lay down our lives, our fortune, and everything that our founding fathers did for this country and what the disciples did and what Jesus did himself. He's requiring the same thing of us. Once you're willing to lose everything, then you're finally willing to live.
That's right.
You got to be willing to die for something. It's kind of pathetic trying to protect all. And God's going to take it all. Let me tell you something right now. Everything that you protect in this coming season, if you try to protect it and don't let God keep it for you, it's going to be gone.
That's right.
And it's, but since it's your God, you know, it's going to be gone. It's going to be totally gone. And if it wasn't your God, you don't care if it's gone. And so this is what he says. He says this. The threat is usually more terrifying. This is the ninth tactic. The threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. And we have so many threats being made right now. I mean, the fact of, you think about, you know, threatening Christian organizations to have to be able to provide abortion pills and threatening nonprofit Christian organizations and conservative organizations to be able to be audited by IRS. I mean, it's meant to curb behavior. They're not planning to do all that. You know, they could. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to do all that. It's just like put that threat out there. And the threat is more powerful than the real thing. The thing is, just keep doing what's right. Mm-hmm. Don't compromise what's right just because somebody's trying to threaten you. You know, remember, we have to answer to God for this. And our grandkids are going to say, what did you do with this? Well, John chapter 8, verse 43 through 45, Jesus says, he says, why is my language not clear to you? Which I'm not speaking clearly. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. That's what he said. You belong to your father, the devil, Lucifer. Mm-hmm. And you want to carry out your father's desires. Mm. Isn't that interesting? It's exactly what's happening. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. No, there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and he is the father of lies. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Proverbs 26:23 says, like a coating of silver dross of earthenware are lips with an evil heart. Silver-tongued lips. Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. It's just plain as day. The ninth tactic is the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Is America being organized and the world being organized? That's what's taking place. Who would Jesus organize? These are great, you know, light conversations to be able to understand. It's like, my goodness, if we are, don't we need to know?
Right.
Don't we need to know if that's what's taking place? And we were talking about the ninth tactic that the threat is usually more terrifying. The ninth Alinsky tactic, which our president taught for 4 years, and it appears to be kind of,
sure,
you know, has a lot of followers of Alinsky promoting this. But what we're going to find out in the next tactic is that he was selected, it appears, according to his pastor, for this situation. A lot of Alinsky's children.
Right.
Whether they read his book or not, I mean, they're operating on the 13 tactics,
they're following
right?
the handbook.
Yeah, and so the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself, which we're talking about, you know, just lie.
And the point of the threat is to have you fearful and terrorized at every moment so you don't act and do what you're supposed to do.
Right. I mean, you understand, too, what his pastor had said. In the segment that we played this week, it was out of time, but I don't know if that was a segment or not. But he said that your problem is this is what Reverend Wright said. The president's pastor said that the president said to him, and said, and this is on the Sean Hannity show, is you have to tell the truth. You have to tell the truth. In other words, you cannot use the ninth tactic in the context of that. And so we're thinking, okay, yeah, that's something. And so when you look at further in regards to shining light on that, and understand the devil just constantly threats. This is what he does. Every day, day and night, he's constantly bringing accusation against you.
Mm-hmm.
He's the accuser of the brethren, day and night. Mm-hmm. Don't ever think he's not accusing, but understand the blood covers you. If you don't try to use Alinsky's tactics to be able to come against Alinsky's children, in other words, you don't follow darkness to be able to defeat darkness. You just stay in the light, as we've been talking about, and that's how you do it. But he says right here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, what protects us from all this that's going on? It's the armor of God. Mm-hmm. It's the armor of God. When he's writing to the church of Ephesus here, Paul writes, he says, finally, you know, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against Lucifer's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. This battle that's going on, it has nothing to do with the folks who may be held captive to do his will. Realize God loves those folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God loves those folks. The enemy is just coming and holding people captive to do his will. And the battle is a spiritual battle between light and dark, between good and evil. And that's what's taking place right here. And if you start thinking that your battle is with flesh and blood, next thing you know, you're being dishonoring and disrespectful, and you're saying things you shouldn't say, and you're creating more darkness by responding in a carnal type fleshly way. And we're talking to church here. We're not talking to folks that are not a church, a believer. But then he goes on verse 13. He says, so because the spiritual war is going on, he says, therefore put on the full armor of God. So God gives us an armor to protect us from all these attacks.
Mm-hmm.
We have a full armor to protect us from all this craziness going on.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I'm not talking about, you know, knight's armor, and I'm talking about, you know, Kevlar vests and all those weird things you see going on out there. I'm talking about spiritual armor. He says, so therefore, with all these things going on, put on the armor of God so that you can, so when the day of evil comes, welcome to the day of evil in the world, comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything you can do to stand, think about it. You've done everything. Mm-hmm. So don't just sit back and go, I'm not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. No, stand up for what's right. Abide with God. Begin to be the light like you're supposed to be. Be the light of the world. You don't hide your light anymore. Just walk out in the midst of gross darkness and just say, you know what? God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. That's and just right. begin to sow. That's what we're doing constantly, sowing light over you and sowing light over the Gulf Coast and sowing light over the nation. Because you know what? The more light that's sown, the more people's hearts begin to soften up, and all of a sudden there's a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And we're believing God for a third grade awakening breakthrough right there. But therefore, he says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand. Think about that. That's so important because, you know, all this craziness is going on. And this is so refreshing to me because I've been watching all this happen. And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, is anybody standing? Is anybody, most people were saying like, I just give up. You know, I don't know. I guess it's just over or whatever. What's over, first of all.
Right.
Secondly, you know, we're supposed to stand. And then somebody says, well, I've done all this already. So what else? And he says, after you've done everything you could do to stand, then just stand.
That's right.
And that's when we're standing in faith. Not, you're not standing in faith if you haven't actually done something. You know, you know, it's faith and works just completes your faith. I mean, you've got to actually begin to no longer be ashamed of Jesus Christ and begin to bring him up that he is your Lord and your Savior and your King and begin to share him with others, share the light with others. And now you're standing. And he says, stand firm then. After you've done everything to do, stand firm then with your belt of truth buckled around your waist. So you got the truth. Listen, if you're not reading the Word of God, you have no belt on. That's why your drawers are dropping. Think about it. Your drawers are dropping to your ankles because you don't have no belt.
Right.
Well, we're like the sons of Sceva here, you know, when it comes to the Word of God, because it's the belt of truth. It's the truth of God. If you get in the Word of God and begin to abide, which you can find out more about abiding at iabide.org. We have a great plan for you there, that you can actually keep your pants up. I mean, you know, if you stand there with no belt on, it's not going to be good. Hmm. It's not going to be good. And you have got to have the belt of truth, not the bondage of darkness.
That's right.
You know, there's some things that they'll give you to be able to hold your pants up, but it's a dark, captive device. So he says, stand firm with the belt of truth around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in its place. And you think about a breastplate. I mean, that's where when I was a deputy, we put the bulletproof vest on the front of our chest. We had a rifle plate that was in the middle of that particular thing. We're very protective of the core parts of our body. We call that the kill zone when we were in training to be able to train with shooting in law enforcement, because that's where you're, if you're going to take somebody out, that's where you would take them out in the context of that. And we were taught to double tap in the K5, which is kill zone. And as a law enforcement officer in self-defense of others or the officer themselves. And in the context that, then that means the breastplate of righteousness covers that area. The thing that could hurt you and kill you, understand that you have the breastplate of righteousness. And righteousness means right standing with God. Think about that. That's so important that if you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you renounced your shameful ways and your sinful ways and you say, yeah, I'm walking with you, God, you're in right standing with God. Mm-hmm. You're in right standing with him. I mean, you're just, he looks at you and he sees his son. Mm-hmm. Unless you're walking in sin. I mean, he's his son.
Right.
And you think about it, it's like, wow, I'm in right standing with God. I mean, it's like everything's okay. Not only are you a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you're an heir of God himself.
Right.
I mean, that's awesome, ain't it?
Yeah, it's powerful.
You're in right standing, so you can approach his throne of grace with boldness to receive mercy and grace in your time of need. I mean, it's like, here I am, God, you know, in right standing with God. And it's actually not thinking that, it's knowing that. It's called faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So when you read the truth of God and you apply it to your life, man, you got your belt up, you got your pants tight, right? And when you walk around, I'm in right standing with God because I have dealt with the things in my life. I laid myself down at the cross and now I'm totally dependent upon the finished work of the cross of Christ. Hey, I'm in right standing with God.
Hello.
This is totally different than trying to build some organized effort to come against somebody who's building an organized effort. It's like, you know, what does loose say to loose, right? Fur? Anyway, so in the context of that the breastplate of righteousness, when you're standing, you wear that in faith. And with your feet, he goes on to say, this is also how you stand against all these lies and these schemes. With your feet fitted with the gospel, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Mm-hmm. Again, the gospel is the word of God, what God has said to us. It's the good news. And if you're not in it, and we say it a million times, just realize only really 3% are in it. Mm-hmm. So, hey, if you want to get rid of all your anxiety stuff, you know, get in it.
That's right.
You know, get in the word. Get in, you know, follow this Jesus that you profess that you follow. It's really confusing a lot of people if you don't. And, but you have this peace. And so you walk around, no matter where you're going, you have this peace. There's not a place that you go to because the kingdom of God is a revelation, not a relocation. There's nowhere to run to find peace, but there is a place to be and receive the kingdom of God within you. And the peace that comes from the readiness of the gospel of peace, which is the word of God. In addition, he tells us to, in this, to take up our shield of faith. And so you got all these lies being and all these, you know, the threat's worse than the actual thing that's happening and all these schemes and all this. You know, you get your problem is you got to tell the truth type stuff. And it's like, how many more people are going to lie to us? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, those are just basic Lucifer tactics. There's, you know, it's just, oh, that's just a kid trying to get their way. I mean, that's, if you see it in the context, you're not going to be so, you know, so freaked out about it. It's so funny. It's like people are shocked that, that people who walk in darkness operate in darkness. It's like, come on. You know, it's come on. And it's crazy.
Surprised?
Yeah. It's just like. You're expecting a non-believer to walk as a believer?
Right.
Well, they told me they were a believer. Check their fruit out, bro. Check their fruit out. So in addition, he says, take the shield of faith. And faith is your confidence and your surety. And he says, this is about what he says about the faith. Faith is your ever-present help in time of trouble. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. That's that confidence that you have that God is with you, God is in you, God is walking with you, that goodness and mercy, which is probably the name of two angels, follow you all the day of your life, all the days of your life, that God's writing down all these things that are happening in your life that are good. If you confess the bad, they're not even in his book of remembrance, and you're going to spend eternity with him. And to die in this body is to be present with God instantly. So as long as I'm going to be here, I'm going to live for him. Praise God, I've got faith. I have the shield of faith. And he says, with this particular shield of confidence and surety and certainty, with the shield of faith, you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows, the lies of the evil one. So what happens is when they launch all these things at you as a believer, it just hits the shield of faith and drops because you're in the light. You see the darkness. You see the perversion in the context of what they're trying to do. You see the fact that it's a scheme going on, trying to undermine a current in your life to bring you to a place that they want to take you to, that they think is right, that they're self-right, self-righteous in the context of that. And so it annihilates. And so if you're not in the Word of God standing like this, you're not protected. Then he says, finally, take up the helmet of salvation. If you have not yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you know, you've got to get saved. This is non-applicable. This does not, this is a disclaimer. This does not apply to anybody who has not yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. That's tax tag and title. Not included, right?
That's right.
The helmet, belt, and shoes not included. But in fact, if you get saved, now you have the helmet of salvation. Isn't it time for your mind to get peace? You know, you got to remember by faith, I'm saved. And so your mind gets all these fiery darts shooting, all these thoughts and stuff. And all of a sudden, you just get this peace in your mind. It's a helmet that protects your thought life. And you got to protect it when people are trying to change your thoughts and the way you think. You got to be able to protect that. You can protect that by faith, saying, you know what? I am saved. You know, I have the helmet of salvation. And finally, he says, in addition to this, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And it reminds me of the vision that Rick Joyner had that he wrote about during the lines of revival. What was the release at that time?
The Call?
No.
Final Quest.
The Final Quest. And had all these Christians who had their swords, and they were just dragging their swords. Nobody was using their sword.
Yeah.
And that's the word of God. That's the Bible. So 97% are basically not even lifting up the sword of the Spirit to be able to fight against the ways of the enemy. We just said yesterday, and one of these tactics is we're supposed to say, it is written. When somebody says a lie to you, when Lucifer comes to attack you, like he did those three different ways, three different strategies to come against Jesus, he says, it is written. It is written. He brought out the sword of the Spirit, and he counteracted the lie with the sword of the Spirit. Double-edged sword, it penetrates to the thought and attitudes of the heart. It just lets you know what's going on, which means this. If 97%, according to George Barna, are dragging their Bibles, I mean, actually 81% are not even touching them, but out of the 17% are dragging them, you know, it's like, obviously we're not going to win the spiritual battle if we don't rise up, but we all got to do is begin to pick it up and begin to do warfare, spiritual warfare now. On behalf of, which is living a life in the light. The best thing you can do to defeat darkness is to begin to live for the light. That's it. What a concept. Renounce all dark, shameful ways. repent at the cross and mm-hmm. live your life, your marriage, your family, your business, and begin to say, you know what? I'm going to live according to Scripture. I'm going to begin in view of God's mercy. I'm going to live that way. And I just want to be able to tell you, in regards to that ninth tactic, when lies are coming at you, that's the light that kind of counteracts the ninth tactic from Alinsky's 13 tactics that our president taught for 4 years, and it looks like it's being used today, mm-hmm. which is the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Always happens that way because the devil's accusing you day and night. But guess what? I just shared with you how we defend ourselves and stand up in the context of all these lies coming from Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers, because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFM radio program. Just you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day that day on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.